This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Welcome, friends. Thank you for joining us again on this journey of creating a just society right where you are. And I'm glad you're here. I hope you're enjoying your summer. It is the end of July here as we record this, and I hope you're having a good summer. Mine's been fairly relaxing. I haven't done quite the activity that I normally do in the summertime due to varying factors, but that's okay. It's what God wanted for me during this time. And I want to remind you that you can also find me at Unfolding Love, a ministry that I've begun on social media. You can find me on X at Cruciform Love and also on Instagram. So thank you for joining me in this unfolding journey. What I'm trying to do in Unfolding Love is to take this a bit further and to the root on a more regular basis. So I hope that's an inspiration. I love doing this podcast. I hear from listeners how this inspires them and really helps them and how much they look forward to the next episode. So thank you for your encouragement. Again, at the end of the episode today, you'll hear the announcer giving the email address. I always look forward to emails, both encouraging emails and critical emails. Sometimes I may have overlooked something, or maybe you feel like I was off point on something, and that's okay to share that as well. Well, I'm going to say today that there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. You're sitting above first base. You hear the chatter all around the ballpark. You have your hot dog in hand and a cold beverage to boot. You look down on the freshly mowed field with those perfect lines in the grass. Your heart begins to beat a little faster as the umpire yells, "Play ball!" Major League Baseball is an American summertime tradition that can't be beat. And today I want to use baseball as an analogy for social justice. So here we go. I hope this is exciting for you. It was fun to put this together. How do we learn about social justice through baseball? And by the way, this was a request of a listener who's an avid baseball fan. And so I wanted to put this together, and it was fun. And I've been watching. Tell you a little bit about my baseball history. I was starting pitcher in high school. Personally, I'll probably talk about that a little bit later in the episode. But also, growing up, I grew up in the 80s, and so grew up in the Midwest, and remember watching This Week in Baseball, watching afternoon Saturday games. Didn't have Major League Baseball channel back then, of course. And then collecting baseball cards at the local corner store, and all of the paraphernalia that goes around that, your favorite players. Now, I did something a couple years ago that I've never done before in my life in sports, and I love sports. My favorite sport is football, and while I do watch NFL games quite frequently, I'm bigger on college football. I feel like there's much more fanfare and excitement around college football. And, you know, I'm one of those weirdos. I'll even watch Harvard Yale games, and you'll see stands, not very many seats in the stadium. But it's just the fact that football's being played for me. But I love baseball, too, and basketball. Soccer, I'm really getting into soccer, especially since Portland has a great soccer teams, two of them in the Portland Thorns and Timbers. And some of my other sports that I strangely like is lacrosse. I don't know why. Since I was in high school, I've always enjoyed, we had ESPN when I was in high school, and I loved watching lacrosse. And the other day I was watching lacrosse on television. It was like, yeah, this is fun. To watch. I love curling. That is one of those Olympic sports that for some reason has grabbed my attention is curling. That's some of that. But when it comes to baseball, I did something that I never do in sports. I changed my favorite baseball team. Now, I am one of those sports fans that once I choose a team, I'm with that team for life. But something happened with my baseball team for me that was so dramatic that is like, I cannot root for this team anymore. I'm going to get into the details of it, but I've been a Denver Broncos fan since the days of Craig Morton and never have changed. And I'll stick with the team through up and down times. Now, the Denver Broncos are unique and either they don't seem to have mediocre seasons. They either are really bad or they're Super Bowl champions. It's a strange phenomenon there in Denver. Been a Los Angeles Lakers fan since I was 5 years old. My dad was a Boston Celtics fan, so during the 80s, we had a lot of fun battles during all the championships that the Lakers and Celtics played with each other. But when it comes to and college football, it's a close one for me. My favorite team is USC, the USC Trojans, Southern California. But a close, very close second is Oklahoma Sooners. For me, but that's those teams, college basketball. I had Kentucky Wildcats pillows and posters and sweats and shirts and hats. To this day, I have Kentucky Wildcats baseball cap that I wear oftentimes. But let me talk about baseball, and I'll get into baseball and social justice in a moment, but thought I'd entertain you for a while. My favorite team since I was a kid when it comes to Major League Baseball has been the Oakland A's. I have been a diehard Oakland A's fan my entire life, and I'm 53 years old now. And I am a year ago I changed teams, and here's what happened. I mean, I have been just an avid Oakland A's fans through the World Series, through the Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire days, Reggie Jackson, them, to, just them being terrible as a team, but still was there and loved watching their games. And watching an Oakland A's game just brought some sort of deep satisfaction and excitement. But a year ago, I did something I have never done. I changed who my favorite baseball team is, my sports team, and a lot of Oakland A's fans have actually done the same thing. So I went into a sports crisis, if you will, and I came to a realization that the owners of the Oakland A's are truly against the fans. And I have never seen the owners of a team that so neglected the fan base as the Oakland A's owners. And they wouldn't sell the team. And, of course, they're moving to Las Vegas, but right now they're playing their games in Sacramento. But I came to a decision and talked to one of my best friends about this crisis. And they said, yeah, you should change teams. And so I went through it was a serious moment for me. I just thought, I am going to put some deep thought into this. If I'm choosing a new team, it's got to meet certain criteria. And then being a championship team did not matter to me. It had to fulfill certain criteria. And the criteria was they had to have some deep history. This team had to have some deep history, had to have some success in their history. Didn't have to be a lot. Had to be a team that was located in a baseball city. There's some cities that have Major League Baseball teams. I wouldn't consider them baseball cities necessarily. You had to have a deep connection to baseball in that city. And so as I looked at my criteria, looked around teams, I had settled on two teams. And I had settled on the Baltimore Orioles and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I talked to my friend and I said, here's the criteria. And he knew the criteria. And I was like, here's my two teams. And he said, you can't go wrong with either team. They meet all the criteria. So after a lot of thought, I settled on the Pittsburgh Pirates. So now I am a Pittsburgh Pirates fan and have the Major League Baseball Network. And so I most days I'm able to watch a Pirates game, and it's a lot of fun. It's actually been a really fun game. I had a great season this year, but it's been fun to watch and thoroughly enjoyed it. So that's my little baseball history for you. But now let's get back to our main subject. What can we learn about social justice through baseball? One thing I think of is that it takes a team who plays various positions. You know, when you play baseball, not everybody's at the same position. That's impossible. You got to have outfielders. You got to have various kinds of outfielders. You have to have different basemen. You got to have good batters. And so there's all these various positions in play. And in the world of social justice, you cannot have everybody doing the same thing, but it almost seems like we almost always have people doing the same thing. In social, the work of baseball, for example, I was starting pitcher in high school, my high school's team. And then once in a great while, the coach would put me in the outfield. But to be honest with you, my favorite position, which I only got to play once, was first base. I love first base. That was, felt like there was a lot of action happening at first base, although pitching there is too, but pitching is kind of like, you know, you're doing the same thing. Whereas first base, you never know quite what's going to happen in a given moment. In the world of social justice, it does that. When you have a project, let's take, for example, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he did the great I Have a Dream speech on the steps of the Capitol there in Washington, D.C. Well, I mean, of course, his position was to give the speech. But let's not forget, and we do forget, that there were the speech writers. There were the people who handled the plane tickets to get him and his staff to the event. It took people who cooked and organized food for the participants at the event. It took security to make sure the crowd was okay. It took people to build the stage that he stood on. It took people to, wire up the sound system. It was all kinds of players in this for that speech to happen. And so it is with any project of social justice, it takes multiple people doing multiple different tasks to make the thing come together. So there's that lesson. Next is that sometimes there's going to be a strike called against you. Sometimes a ball. Sometimes a single. You're going to hit a single or a double. Sometimes you're going to hit a home run. And maybe on a rare occasion, you're going to hit a grand slam. Isn't that fun? By the way, the opposite of the grand slam, which I despise in baseball, the opposite of the grand slam is bases are loaded. There's two outs and the batter leaves all three men on base. I hate that when that happens. Like, so you've either got a grand slam or you've got nothing. You know, sometimes it can feel like that in the world of social justice. But, you know, sometimes you're going to strike out. You're just going to get it wrong. And maybe it's a time to regroup and figure out why you got it all wrong in the work of justice. Or sometimes you're going to get a free pass. The pitcher throws a ball, the other team does something. In other words, the other team would be the ones who are maybe creating the injustice, and you're trying to bring them on, and they're going to give you a free pass sometimes when they should have thrown a strike against you. And sometimes, and probably most of the time, you're going to get a single. Now, the Oakland A's had made it in the playoffs one year on the concept of singles. Just hitting singles. Get batters on the team who just hit single after single consistently, and then you're just moving people around the bases instead of trying for home runs. And then one of the assistant managers for the Oakland A's had become the manager for the Boston Red Sox, and when that happened, they applied the same principle and won the World Series, the Red Sox did. So hitting singles, meaning you're doing small victories. You get small victories, but in those small victories, if you focus on a bunch of small victories in the work of justice, you're moving. You're making progress, and you're getting runs scored. Sometimes you're going to get a home run or grand slam. That's a lot of fun, but that's not what you should focus on. Focus on the small victories. Next, in baseball, sometimes in the work of social justice, you need to pull a Pete Rose and gamble on an action when you're unsure what to do. Poor Pete Rose. May his soul rest in peace. Amen. But Pete Rose, I feel like my personal opinion on the whole Pete Rose story is that Major League Baseball is being hypocritical in that this guy gets banned for gambling and banned from the Hall of Fame, but yet now baseball has commercials encouraging you to gamble on baseball and moving the A's to Las Vegas for the purpose of gambling on baseball. That irritates me. I just got to tell you. So Pete Rose should be reinstated posthumously, of course. They should be reinstated. But yeah, sometimes in social justice, I call it pulling a Pete Rose, where you're unsure what to do, there's a situation, and you just gamble and go for it. And there will be times when you seek wisdom, use discernment, but there's some actions in dealing with injustices where you're not quite sure which is the right action, so you just go for it. And in going for it, you may lose out and get banned, or you may win. But sometimes you don't know what is the right way to go until you just go for it. What was it Yogi Berra said, that when you come to a fork in the road, take it? Good advice. Next, there are those on the field, and then there are those who are in the stands. The people in the stands are important too. They encourage you and cheer you on when you are down and boo you when you lose your focus. Now, something I'm not quite understanding in Major League Baseball now, maybe you can help me out by sending me an email. But when the visiting team, the pitcher throws the ball to first base to try to catch the runner, to keep them from stealing the base or to put them back in check, why do the fans boo them for doing that? I mean, that's a normal baseball strategy. And then now, I noticed I was watching the San Francisco Giants play the Pittsburgh Pirates last night, and every time that the catcher went out to the mound to have a conference with the pitcher, the Giants fans would boo. I mean, boo quite vehemently them for doing that, but that's normal baseball. So why are fans now booing players for doing what is the normal thing to do? It's strange to me. But sometimes you're going to get booed in the work of social justice, and sometimes you're going to get cheered on. But there are those who aren't necessarily down on the field helping you achieve justice in a given situation, but they are praying for you and they are cheering you on, and that's important too. So don't discount what they're doing. And by the way, it may be the majority of people. The majority of people at a baseball game are in the stands, right? Not on the field. So it may be in life too. The majority of people, are praying for you and cheering you on, not necessarily in the trenches. And that can be okay. It all works together. Next, sometimes you will need a designated hitter. Sometimes you're going to need someone to take your place to give you a break because you're exhausted, you're burnt out, you're hurting, you've got family issues that need dealt with, or personal issues, health issues, whatever it is. Sometimes you're going to need a designated hitter to step in and help you with the work of justice. I would say with that, make sure that you are training them for the inevitable of you needing to be replaced either permanently or just temporarily. Next, sometimes you'll need a relief pitcher. So keep all those things in mind. Keep in mind that in a baseball game, you have the lines. The lines are important to sustain the integrity of the game. Now, one of the things that I think is interesting in baseball that doesn't happen in basketball or football or hockey is that the lines aren't always the same in baseball. Now, the infield lines, the outfield lines. But what's interesting to me in baseball is not every stadium has the same distance of home runs. So some stadiums is harder than others to hit a home run because it's further out to hit a home run. I hope they don't change that. That's kind of a cool feature of the game. But there are the lines. The bases are the same distance. The foul lines are the same distance. From the pitcher to the hitter, same distances. Those are good things because they preserve the integrity of the game. And so in the work of social justice, you need to set boundaries and observe boundaries because it keeps the work of social justice, it maintains its integrity. Next, there can be at times in your work of justice, there can be times when there are four people standing around judging you. Those umpires, those people we love to hate. Yeah, I kind of miss the days. It seems like the days are gone where the umpires are dramatic in their calls. I remember the days when strikes were really yelled out. There are times where, like, I'm left wondering, what was the call? And it ended up being a strike. It's like I didn't even hear the umpire call a strike. But you know, when they strike out, I mean, there's a little bit of drama, but man, there are times in the past when umpires just went all out to call a strikeout, throwing her body every which direction. It was fun to watch. But those umpires, the home plate umpire that takes most of the abuse, but then you've got the umpires that crack me up are the first and third base umpires. These guys are so chilled out, aren't they? I mean, they're leaning backwards. They got their legs spread apart. They've got their arms crossed, and they're just chilled out. And then if the home plate umpire is unsure whether the batter broke the plane when he checked his swing, they'll point to the first or third base umpire, and the umpire will, you know, maybe just do that casual safe sign to show that they maintain their swing, and then they'll go back to the crossed arms. That cracks me up. But these umpires, you got four people around judging you. In the work of social justice, you may have groups of people while you're doing the hard work, they're there to judge you. And while that's not good, they could be used by God to help you course correct when necessary. So when people are judging you, the tendency is, hey, look, I'm here in the trenches. I'm doing all the work. How dare you judge me? I would encourage you to just use those times to say, is there something to their judgment maybe where I need to course correct? So be judged in humility, and we're commanded not to judge one another. Let God deal with their hearts. Okay, next up, sometimes, and this is one of my favorite points, sometimes a healthy argument is what the doctor called for. I love it. I've got to admit, I love a good baseball argument when the manager comes out of the dugout and gets in the face, and I mean literally in the face of that umpire, and they have it out. That's fun. In fact, sometimes I go on YouTube and watch montages of umpire-manager arguments. And man, one of the best managers to get into a good argument with the umpires is Lou Piniella. Man, that guy could just ream out an umpire. And those umpires would just casually listen with this guy practically kissing them. He's so close to him. And then his name slips my mind at the moment, the guy that was the manager for the Cubs for so long. He was classic at it. Short, bald guy. What was his name? Skipping my mind at the moment. But then you've got, of course, Billy Martin and those guys that were just classic arguers with umpires. And sometimes a healthy argument is what the doctor called for. And I do mean this in the work of social justice. A good argument is necessary at times. And what classically an argument is, it is a way of sharing different opinions with passion for the purpose of coming to the truth. So arguing with opposing sides, arguing with those who are creating injustices in a way where they are heard and you are heard, you consider each other's points and figure out where the truth is, because the truth is often in the middle somewhere. Just because you're standing for justice does not mean that you are always right. I have been quite wrong at times, not in standing for justice, but in my point I was making, and I've had to be corrected at times. So it's okay. A good, healthy argument can be in place in order to find out the truth of where to go to create justice in a given situation. I hope you're having fun with this. Are you having fun with this analogy of baseball to social justice? Now, this next point is you have to follow the order of the bases. You ever watch a little league game and the little kid doesn't quite know what to do, or maybe T-ball and he runs off the third base after it hits the ball? It's kind of funny. But you have to follow the order of bases. You have to go to first base first, second, then third, then home. And in social justice, it is very tempting, and you'll see it in some of these social justice movements, to the person just want to jump to home plate. Can't do that. Sometimes you're going to have to go to first base, which would represent your small first victory. And you might have to stay there for a while waiting for the other batters to stop striking out and actually hit the ball so you can move to second base. Because it's not all about you and social justice. There's all your team players, and they may not be on the same page as you. They may be struggling, and so it's hanging you up. But you have to follow the order of the bases. You got to get that first victory to move on to the second victory, the third, and finally home. But what's happening in those moments of getting stuck on a base or of slow movement to the next base, what's happening is you're learning things and you're growing and you're figuring out new ideas, or you're trying to understand, should I steal second base? Should I just wait for the hit? You know, you're having to reflect. And it's okay during those periods to just stop and be forced to reflect, because you'll learn things during that period. All right, next up, if you hit a home run, if you have such a big victory in your fight for justice that it's a home run or even a grand slam, feel free to slide or jump into home plate in style. Celebrate with everybody. And if that grand slam includes the oppressor becoming part of the team, that's a huge celebration there. And, you know, one of the things I've never learned, I've tried it, I just can't seem to do it. You'll see players slide into second base, feet first, and then they immediately, in the same motion, stand up once their feet are touching the base. I can't figure out how they do that. But it's cool. Come into home plate in style as you celebrate. It's okay to celebrate victories. Okay, next, I got just five more points here. But if you want co-workers... If you want happy coworkers in the field of social justice with you, sometimes a free hot dog and a beer will do the trick. In other words, what I'm saying is treat your team from time to time. Let them know that they're celebrated and they're wanted, and do something that blesses them. Next, and this one is one I really enjoy, this point, the drive to the stadium is just as fun as being in the stadium. From time to time, I drive up to Seattle to Mariners games. Great stadium, by the way. The stadium they built in Seattle is one of the best. It's phenomenal. It's stadium we're looking, if you're looking into the outfield, you can see downtown Seattle, which Seattle has phenomenal skyline to it. You can see, of course, the NFL stadium, which is right across the street from the baseball stadium. And then it's got a retractable roof. And every time I've been up there, the roof has been retracted. So it's there are train tracks, a freight yard that comes right by the wall, I think, of first base side of the stadium. And that roof retracts out over that train yard. So for me, that's kind of a cool feature. I don't know what it is. It just kind of grabs me. But the drive is just as fun as being at the stadium. I mean, and by the way, here in Oregon, we have the PDX Diamond Project, and they're trying to bring Major League Baseball to Portland. Portland is the largest city without a baseball, Major League Baseball team. So the owners have funded their part of the stadium. State of Oregon has funded, the governor just signed off on their part of funding the stadium. I'm excited about that. If you want to go on PDX Diamond Project's website, you should. They've got renderings of the stadium. It is a cool place. And here's the thing that shocked me is where they're putting the stadium is a short walk from where I live. I'm like, that is awesome. So, neighborhood's about to change. But it's on one side of the Willamette River, the stadium, and I live on the other side of the Willamette River. But, yeah, cool feature. And but anyways, you know, when I go up to Mariners games, or last summer I went down to San Francisco and saw went to Oracle Park and saw Giants and play the Reds. That was a lot of fun. That's a cool stadium as well. It's not just the insides. The inside stadium, what you see during the games, the outside of the stadiums can be pretty intense as well. But when I get in the car here in Portland, I begin my 2.5-hour drive up to the stadium in Seattle. And, you know, right about the time I get in the stretch on I-5 between Chehalis and Centralia, Washington, it really starts hitting me. Like, oh, my heart starts pumping, getting excited. Then to do that curve on I-5 around Olympia. And, man, it's just like, and Tumwater, you've got Tumwater, Olympia there, and that way I-5 does that S-curve around there, and it's like, oh, it is happening. And then that first sight of downtown Seattle on I-5, which when you see that first, when you're headed north on I-5 and that first sight of downtown Seattle, you realize, oh, that's why they call it the Emerald City. It looks like the city on the Wizard of Oz. And then once you take the James Street exit off of I-5 and go to the stadium. There's a free parking area in an industrial area that I park in and walk to the stadium. But, you know, you're walking up to the stadium and you're getting near the gate and just the sheer heart-pounding excitement of what's about to happen is so, so amazing. And then once you're in the concourse, and there's some cool concourses in the stadium in Seattle. It wasn't quite as impressed with the concourses in San Francisco, but Seattle, they've got it looks like you're in an old industrial warehouse and the old 1940s lighting and stuff. It's a pretty sweet scene. But you get into those, you're there, and the drive, the travel to the stadium is just as fun as the game itself. And for the work of social justice, allow the process to be just as exciting as the end result. Stop jumping to the end result and be more like the process is just as exciting. Yeah. Next, if you get stuck and you don't know what to do, walk out to the mound and have a conference. Sometimes you got to go on a retreat or have a conference with your team. Next, watch This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen to see what others are doing. In other words, watch what other people in the realms of social justice are doing, and that will help inspire you with fresh ideas, and it's fun to watch. A couple more here. Using creative tricks and unseen moves helps throw off the opponent. In other words, don't just fall into the same pattern. Let's hold signs, protest, walk, march, shout. No, no. Let's use some fun creativity when we are creating a just society. And then finally, at the end of the game, once the victory's been won, or if you've lost, be a good sport, show sportsmanship, and shake everybody's hand in the end. Yeah. Well, I hope that was fun for you. One of my favorite memories is hearing Mel Allen every Saturday saying, "How about that?" on This Week in Baseball. I would spend Saturdays as a kid watching This Week in Baseball, and then in the afternoon watching whatever the game was on that week. But This Week in Baseball was a fun show. Mel Allen, he made it happen. I remember, you know, them interviewing Tony Gwynn one Saturday before a Padres game, you know, and just seeing Tony Gwynn stand on the grass at the stadium, the sun shining and all that. It's just something about, and seeing the plays of the week and all of that. There's something about it. Baseball is filled with grit, emotion, long and short games that are a pitcher's game and other games that are a batter's game. There are games that are ordinary and others that have a World Series feel to them, but it all comes together to create baseball. So goes the work of social justice. There are so many ordinary and exciting moments all working together to create the world as God meant it to be. Let these analogies inspire you to get back in the game as we work together to create a just society right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.